Welcome to the Watershed Teaching Podcast. Watershed is the high school ministry of Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Perimeter Church is part of the Presbyterian Church in America. Watershed is a place where we hope high school students would connect, receive, and transform. We want to see students connect with God and others through healthy community, receive His truth through gospel-centered, grace-based teaching, and be transformed by the gospel to then go transform their world. Thank you for downloading this podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.perimeter.org/watershed.
All right, good to see you guys tonight. A few of you who didn't go out of town for this long weekend, and I'm excited about what we have to say tonight, and we want to start kind of excited about this. I want to give away $20. Does anybody want $20? Anybody wants, somebody wants 20 bucks, really? Who? How about, let's go right here. Miss Tall Lambert. All right, so, okay. So tell me your name.
Allison.
And you go to Lambert.
I go to Lambert.
What year are you?
I'm a senior.
Okay, so I'm giving you this opportunity that nobody else has. I mean, everybody would like to win the 20. But I'm giving you the opportunity, and this is it's a quiz. It's a pretty tough one. So we're going to see if you can answer this question, all right?
Can't phone a friend.
You can't phone a friend. You know there's an election right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you name the two candidates of the major parties that are running in this election?
Trump and Hillary.
Trump and Hillary, is that correct? Yes, that is correct. Okay, it is correct. Fish out here. I'm excited to give you this. You don't look excited. What's the matter?
It's not 20.
Wait a second. She's saying this is not $20. What are the numbers that are written in the corner there?
My Monopoly money is probably more valuable.
Like, you think so?
Yeah.
You think?
Okay,
well, wait a second. You guys see that, right? That looks like a 20, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like a 20? How can you tell that that's not a real 20?
White.
Okay. It's white. What else? Anything else you see on there that in particular?
No,
it's kind of flimsy. Back. Oh, it's not even written on the back half. Wait a second. There's nothing on the back. It even says Play Money of America right there in the corner. That's knowing God we trust. We're in a church, for goodness sakes. Okay, so if we compare that to this 20, right? That's a better looking 20, right? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to give you that one.
Are you for real?
Yeah. Yeah, you go ahead and sit down. Thank you for that. Okay, so you see, interesting when it comes to things like that. Oh, thank you. Sorry. Yeah, we're right in the way there. One of the buildings just went away. If you ever were to work for the Secret Service, okay, and Secret Service studies counterfeiting, and they prosecute and investigate counterfeiting situations, you would think that they spend all their time studying counterfeit money, wouldn't you? But they don't. Does anybody know how they do that? How they actually catch counterfeiters, or how they know what a real 20 looks like, or if a real 50 or a real 100? They study real money, right? They spend all their time studying what the real bill looks like, okay? They don't have to spend their time studying the fake money because they study the real thing. And so when we talked about this money, right, when we talk about this fake money, you know, the main thing that I should have brought up with Allison, she was up here, the main difference in this money and in the real 20 is the purchasing power, right? If she walked into a store with this, she's not going to get anything of real value for this. This does not deliver what it promises, okay? There's definitely a promise of fulfillment and satisfaction that fake money can't deliver on. You know, we often look at sexuality and especially one kind of sexuality and say how it deviates from God's plan. Okay, it's counterfeit. There are so many different ways that the evil one has counterfeited sexuality. Okay, we have things like transgender, homosexuality, polygamy, fornication. Anybody know that's a really big theology word there, fornication? What does that mean? Anybody? Sleeping around. Fornication, right? That means premarital sex, sleeping around, pornography. Each one of these things promise fulfillment and satisfaction, but they really don't deliver. They're just like this counterfeit, okay? They promise satisfaction. They promise something that they can't really deliver on. And we often tend to look at maybe one kind of sexuality and look at it as worse than other sexual sin. But really, God kind of lumps all of these kinds of sexual sin together for things that we need to be aware of and see as something that deviates from what really does provide satisfaction. Years ago, I mean, I can remember, we get lulled into this and thinking some sins are worse than others when it comes to sexual sin. And I know that years ago, I was watching the show Friends. I know that's an old show now. Some of you may have seen it on Netflix, right? But I remember when I was watching Friends years ago, they had like the first homosexual marriage in the show Friends. And I was like, wow, they're promoting this agenda of homosexuality. And I was completely ignoring the fact that they were all sleeping around with all kinds of people. And that didn't bother me at all, right? You see how we can elevate one sexual sin above others in such a way that the other kinds of sexual sin we just kind of turn a blind eye to, like that's not a big deal to God, and yet it's not. And so the real blueprint for sexual sin is found primarily in Scripture in Genesis 1 and 2, foundational principles about man and woman and marriage and sexuality. And you also find it in 1 Corinthians 6 and 7. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 even go into this idea of the fact that singleness is a part of God's plan. God has a blueprint for sexuality, and it involves a covenant marriage between a man and a woman, sex within that safety, and it also involves singleness, okay? And that's something that as the church, we're pretty bad at, is promoting singleness as a viable option. But Paul definitely goes into that in 1 Corinthians 7. Now, your D group leaders have a handout with these scriptures on them, and you're going to discuss this in your groups tonight. So I'm not going to go into incredible depth on those areas, but I want you to know that we have a handout. Jimmy has one in the back, D group leaders, if you didn't get one on the way in. So you're going to be discussing that in your groups. But what I want us to think about is, what is our response, okay? If we struggle with one of these areas of sexual sin, right? You might be struggling with same-sex attraction or transgender or sex outside marriage, pornography. Any of these things could be something that you currently are dealing with. How do you deal with that? And one of the main things that I want to get across tonight is for you to tell somebody. Talk to somebody about that. And I mean, you want to talk to your parents, maybe your D group leader, talk to a close friend. You need to get that out and begin kind of expose that struggle to the light. Because what the evil one wants more than anything when we have these kinds of struggles is to keep it down in the dark and make you think that you're the only one that's dealing with this. You're the only one that has this struggle. Because if he can keep it in the dark, he can work on you and continue to drive this. In Ephesians 5, we have this. He says, if anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When we expose our struggles to the light of day, you find out that other people can relate to your struggle. They are maybe dealing with the same thing, and you can get help and allow people to speak into what you're struggling with. Another thing I want to point out is that these desires and feelings that people experience in these areas, okay, it could be any one of these areas, these are real, okay? The struggle is real. Like, I don't want to invalidate that and say, oh, if somebody's struggling with something like this, it's not real. Just forget it, or you're not really feeling that way. You don't think or have these desires. The desire and the struggle and the feelings are real. But the action or the desire doesn't validate the action in and of itself. Okay, because you feel something or because you desire something That doesn't mean you say, well, okay, if this is how I feel or I've always felt this way, then it must be okay. Like, think about that. When you think of any deviation from God's plan sexually, when does that ever happen that we veer from it and say, oh, I was born this way, so it must be real. This has to be what I'm feeling. When does God say that what I want is the highest value? That's not usually the way that he goes at it, right? That the things that I want are of the highest value. I can say, oh, well, I have a desire for multiple sex partners, so that must be okay, right? I desire to see pornography, so that's all right because I desire it, right? I have these feelings. I have this desire. You could do that with anything, and each one of these things is a counterfeit, right? We're saying, well, I want to smoke pot on the weekends. But this is how I feel. This has to be okay. And Satan is just, he loves this when we do this. He is ready to offer us satisfaction in any and every area that we struggle, okay? And he is constantly ready. He is printing these out unlimited. And he is ready to hand them to you anytime you think, well, everybody's doing it. This must be okay. And he's ready to just continue to throw these bills at us at any time and say, these are going to satisfy you. This is going to get you where you want to go. And I have a message to you from God about this. God cannot deal with your sexuality until you first see yourself as a child of God. Okay? If you don't see yourself first as saying, okay, who I am a child of God, he can't come in and deal with where you feel or where you're struggling sexually. Your number one priority needs to be, I belong to Jesus. I am his. And when you submit yourself to him, then you say, Lord, here I am. Here's all of me, okay? It doesn't matter what I'm feeling. It doesn't matter what I desire. It doesn't matter what these struggles are, because God says, I will come in and I will help you and I will take your hand and I will walk you through these struggles and he will come alongside you in that struggle. When you are in submission to a holy God, he will empower you to say no to yourself, to say no to the flesh, and to say yes to holiness. Because what God is really after, he's not after heterosexual followers. He is after holy followers, okay? That you and I are holy in our sexuality. That our bodies belong to him, okay? Our bodies belong to God. Your body belongs to your future spouse. And holiness is what he's after. That's his highest value, is that we would be holy because he is holy. 1 Peter 1:14 says this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not struggling with one of these things that I've mentioned, okay? You probably will at some point struggle with some of this, at some point, okay? But if you're not struggling with any of this, that's great. So what would you do, again, using this analogy that this is counterfeit sexuality, right? What would you do if you were at a store and you saw somebody come in and they tried to pay with this kind of money, okay? And would you be like, aha, you're so stupid, you're playing with the wrong money, especially if they didn't know that this is fake, all right? I don't know if any of you guys ever traveled overseas. When I was overseas, I've been to lots of different countries around the world, and I don't know about you, but I always feel like it is Monopoly money when I'm overseas, right? You get, whether it's lira in Italy, well, I guess everybody uses the euro now, whether it's euros, or when I was in Russia, we had all the rubles and different kinds of money, and it gets confusing because they have all these coins and all this different stuff, and usually I would end up walking up to the cashier, you know, like, just take some money. I don't know. I don't know how to read, you know, what this is. And they're always really nice, like stupid American. They're pulling the bills out, you know, and paying. But the thing is, they usually have mercy on me, right? They look at me and they go, you don't really understand what is going on. I can love you. I can be merciful. I can reach in and take the bills that you need and do that. And that's the thing with us in this realm. How do you and I come around that person who is broken sexually and they don't know? They're buying this, right? Satan is handing them these as fast as they can and they're taking them and they're like, yes, okay, I'm seeing, but it's not satisfying. It's not getting them where they want to go. It is not helping them in any way, shape, or form. And you and I can come up to them and we can say no and put our arm around them and say, this is not going to get you where you need to go, right? And we can say, look, this is wrong. Right here, I've got the real thing. Let me give you this. Oh, yeah, there's more where that came from, right? Let me give you this because God has given me the truth, and he has given us an unlimited supply of the truth. As we go to him, right, we can continue to go to him, and we have an unlimited supply of what God has given us that is true. For you know the grace, it says in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, you know the grace that our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. God, by his poverty, has given us everything, right? He has given us everything. And the blessing that we have is to come and love others who are broken. When they have this, we can say, no, you know what? My Heavenly Father has given me this. Okay? An unlimited supply of hundreds. And I have the truth that I can offer to them lovingly and say, how can I reach in to your life and give you what you need? Okay? This is what God is calling us to do today. You're going to talk more about this in your small groups. Let me pray, and then we've got some announcements. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We need you. To speak into our sexuality. Your scripture has said that marriage in a covenant relationship is your plan, or singleness is your plan for sexual holiness. And you call us to be holy because you are holy, and we are broken, and we deviate from that, and we have deviated from that. And Lord, I pray that if someone here is struggling with this, that they would turn to you, that they would expose that struggle to the light so that they can get help, so that people can come around them and alongside them and point them to the truth. And Lord, help us and as we interact with the world around us, how can we lovingly reach out and help those who are struggling with this counterfeit sexuality, and how can we enter into that in the truth and offer them what is real and true in a way that is loving? Lord, help us to be loving more than being right. In many cases, how can we do that with wisdom? Because we need that. And so we ask all this in Christ's glorious name. Amen.